For scripture reading this morning, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. John, chapter 11. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together. And we'll begin reading with verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world.
I want to speak to you this morning from one of my favorite passages of Scripture, which is found in the story of the resurrection of Lazarus from the grave, having been dead already for 4 days. I love this story because it reveals a faith that refused to drown in tragedy. And even in the depths of despair and disillusionment and frustration, two women, two sisters, refused to give up their faith in Jesus Christ. And I love it because it's also a story that illustrates God's mysterious ways, His providence, and encourages us to have faith when we don't understand Jesus' actions or His inactions. Now, most of us have many acquaintances and a few friends. And Jesus was no different. His daily ministry brought Him into contact with multitudes of people that He cared about and had compassion on, but He had few friends among them. Many listened, but few loved. Many heard the Word, few obeyed. And only a very small number of those ever really entered into a close personal friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Bethany, He had some friends. This was a family of a brother and two sisters, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Lazarus was a wealthy and influential man, as is evidenced by the size of his funeral, as people came from all over Jerusalem to comfort his sisters and mourn his death. Now, we met this family first in Luke chapter 10 when Martha invited Jesus and his apostles to her house for dinner. No small thing to invite 13 men over for dinner. And there we are introduced to Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Now, I believe that Martha was the oldest because she definitely had the bossy big sister attitude. Who can relate to the bossy big sister attitude? All right. Becky, I'm going to tell Beth you raised your hand, even though you didn't. Now, while Martha is busy serving and doing the dishes and getting dessert ready, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to His Word. And there in Luke 10, Martha got irritated with her sister, and she told Jesus to tell Mary to give her a hand. And Jesus told Martha, Martha, Martha. Now, why did He have to say her name twice? Because I can picture in my mind Jesus sitting there. Martha comes in, Jesus, tell Mary to come help me with our chores. And she starts to walk off, and Jesus has to tell her twice, Martha, Martha, because she's already back in the kitchen. I can picture it in my mind just as sure as I can picture last night's dinner. And he called Martha back in and said, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Like a lot of sisters, they were very different. If I may give you my character study of these two ladies, I would say that Martha was the oldest. She was a hard worker, somewhat of a perfectionist. might have been diagnosed with OCD, obsessed with details, the consummate housekeeper. Every time Martha appears in the Bible, she's serving and entertaining guests. She was the kind of woman who has a hard time sitting down and relaxing, and would rather be in constant motion and giving things to others. Makes a good wife if you like a clean house and good food. Don't mind nagging from time to time. Because Martha was a little forward in her speech and probably spoke her mind a little more than she should have. But you know what? She was a good Christian woman. She loved God, she loved Jesus, and Jesus loved her. Now Mary was the younger sister, and she was the quiet one. She was perhaps the thoughtful one, perhaps the more spiritually minded one. She made the wise choice to sit at Jesus' feet and hear His Word, knowing the dishes would wait. And by the way, a lot of things will wait. While we spend a little bit of time reading the Word of God and spend time in church, a lot of things will wait. Amen? They'll hold. And Mary understood that. Later, she's the one who broke the alabaster box of ointment and anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped His feet with her hair. And I consider her a rare woman of great humility, with a love for Jesus that was very intense and sacrificial. Both loved Jesus, both believed in Jesus, and both served Jesus. And by the way, I'm glad we don't all have to have the same personality type to serve the Lord. We can be different and serve the same Savior and be accepted by Him. Now, these are the people in the story. Now, let me tell you the situation. Lazarus had become desperately sick. And Jesus was down by the Jordan River where John had baptized Him. And they're up in Bethany, just a few miles from Jerusalem, and it's a long downhill road from Jerusalem to Jordan. When Lazarus got sick, no, they didn't have cell phones. I know this is shocking for the younger folks. They didn't have cell phones. So why didn't he just call? They didn't have cell phones back then. It was another whole other world. They didn't have Facebook. You couldn't put a post up. Couldn't send a direct message. They had to hire a courier to go find Jesus and deliver the message to Him. And so they sent a courier. They're sitting by Lazarus' bedside. He's sick. The courier has to go downhill, down that long, winding desert road to Jordan. He finally finds Jesus surrounded by crowds. He brings the message to Jesus that Mary and Martha, your friends in Bethany, have sent me to tell you that your friend Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. And they've requested that you would please come and heal your friend Lazarus. You know what Jesus did? Nothing. He stayed. He sent the courier back. And I can just picture them sitting by Lazarus' bedside. Lazarus turning gray. Lazarus breaking out in fever-induced sweats. Lazarus withering away before their eyes, and they kept waiting for Jesus to show up. Kept looking out the window. You know how you are when you're waiting for someone, but you don't know when they're coming. Just always looking for them. Are they going to come now? Are they going to come now? And time passes, and Lazarus is dying, and Jesus has not come. The courier comes back, and they said, "Did you give the message to Jesus?" They said, "He said yes." What did Jesus say? He said, "Well, this sickness is not is for the glory of God." But is he coming? No, he stayed. He stayed. And then Lazarus breathes his last breath, and there's that death rattle in his chest and his last breath, and he dies. And Jesus hasn't come. Now, according to the 1906 Jewish encyclopedia that I researched, Jewish custom was to bury the dead the very day that they died and place them in the tomb. And then for 3 days, people would come by for like a viewing to walk by the tomb and to look into the tomb and see the body that was there. At the end of the third day, they sealed the tomb because by then the corruption would begin, the body would begin to decompose. And I don't need to go into all the details, but they would then seal the tomb. And that was it. And Jesus still didn't, he didn't even come for the funeral. He didn't even head straight back. Now, folks, there were other times. There was a Roman centurion that sent a servant to Jesus and said, this guy's a Roman. He's not even a Jew. And he sent his servant to Jesus and said, I have another servant here sick. And I care about this servant. And if you can do anything, heal my servant. And Jesus just spoke the word where he was and the servant was healed. And surely Mary and Martha are familiar with that story. And it's like, couldn't Jesus show us a little compassion? Couldn't Jesus speak the word? What's the point of being Jesus' friend if he's not going to be there when we need him? And then day after day, 3 days passes, the fourth day has come, and Jesus has not sent a word. Jesus has not arrived. And then finally, on the fourth day after Lazarus' death, he has arrived in town. But I want you to notice first in John 11, verse 6. It says, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode two days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Now, it seems like the disciples have already forgotten what's going on. They said, well, if we go there, they're going to kill you. And Jesus said, no, we've got to go. Verse 11, these things said he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Now, they're trying to get out of the trip. If he's just asleep, it's okay. No reason for you to go. And then Jesus has to speak to them plainly. In verse number 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now the disciples heard that, but Mary and Martha didn't hear that. I want you to try to put yourself in their place. You ever do that in the Bible? Try to put yourself in their sandals? Amen? How would you feel? You're his friend. You're not just a casual listener. You know him. And he knows you. He's sat in your house. He's eaten with you. And you have a great emergency and you send for help and you know that he received your message and you've called him to come and help, but he won't even leave where he's at. He stays there two more days before he finally leaves and takes 2 days to get there. And finally, on the fourth day, after the tomb is already sealed, now Jesus shows up in town. Verse number 20, Jesus walked into a very uncomfortable, highly charged, emotional setting. Verse 20 says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And here we have 4 days of doubts and heartbreak and sadness and confusion. And the first thing she says to Jesus echoes all of her thoughts for the last 4 days. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now some might say, oh, how dare she speak like that to the Lord? Well, she was just expressing her heart. Now, I taught in Sunday school this morning about trusting God's omniscience and trusting His wisdom in things in life. You know, there's a big difference between someone sitting down with a cold, calculating heart and just criticizing God and blaming God and refusing to believe in God, and a person who believes in God but in a hardship in their life has sincere emotional struggles and doubts concerning their faith. Can I tell you something? You're not going to hurt God by expressing that doubt. You're not. And when people have suffered heartache and the loss of a loved one, folks, they may say all kinds of things in their sorrow, just their emotions coming out. And she simply comes to Jesus. The first thing she says is, Lord, she stated a fact. If he'd been there, she wouldn't have died. If you had been, it was also kind of an accusation, wasn't it? Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But then she said in verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. This statement of faith by Martha in her time of loss and heartache is, I believe, one of the greatest statements of faith recorded in the Scriptures. I believe that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he goes down to say, believest thou this? Puts her on the spot. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe that I'm the resurrection? Do you believe that believing in me will give you life? And she said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, folks, that's an amazing statement of faith that even now I know my heart hurts. I don't understand what is going on. I don't understand why you didn't answer. I don't understand why you didn't heal him. But I know that even now my faith is still secure that thou art Christ, that thou art the Son of God, that you are the Savior that God promised us. And I still believe in all this time of heartache and disillusionment and frustration and fear and disappointment. I still believe that you are the Christ and the Son of God. Every person will face great times of darkness and disillusionment when it seems like God perhaps has abandoned us. Even the psalmist many times cried out, wondered why God was not there, why God was hiding himself. There are times when prayer doesn't seem to work and our problems are bigger than we can possibly handle. Christians face times when we wonder what God's purpose is, why we're going through what we go through, and how it could possibly be for our good. We send up prayer requests that don't seem to get answered. In fact, the exact opposite seems to take place. There are times when sleep flees away and tears won't stop flowing and the heart is so broken you'll think it will never mend. And it's times like those that we have to reach way down deep inside of ourselves and find whatever faith we have left and say, even now I know. Even now I believe. Even now I'm still sure. In the midst of heartaches and tears and sleepless nights and worried days, and in the midst of disappointments and disillusionments and broken dreams and impossible problems and disturbing questions and doubts and fears and great sorrows, we can still say that even now I know, even now I believe. Now Jesus stopped there outside of town. He asked, where's Mary? Martha said, she's still at the house. And Jesus said, I'll wait here. You go tell her that I'd like to see her, please. Martha went, verse 28, went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master has come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. What do you think they'd been saying to each other for the last 4 days? If he'd been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But you know, she didn't say the same thing Mary did. But her action said the same thing Martha said. She fell down in worship and adoration. Oh, if you've been here, my brother hadn't died. But her actions were still showing that she still loved him and still trusted him despite what was happening in her life. I want you to notice a few encouraging thoughts from this story. When we go through times when we don't understand what God has done or not done, notice first that Jesus had heard their prayer and knew their situation. He had heard their prayer and knew their situation. This was no surprise to Jesus. Jesus knows everything about us and everything about our lives. And He knew that Lazarus would get sick and die before Lazarus got sick or died. It was no surprise to Jesus what had taken place. Folks, do y'all believe that God knows everything about everything? Nothing surprises Him. Nothing ever occurred to God. God is omniscient. Jesus Christ is omniscient. He knows everything. He understands every situation. And He had heard their prayer and He understood what they were dealing with. And there's great comfort in knowing that Jesus knows my situation. Now, I'm a child of God, folks, and when I pray, every one of my prayers goes into the ear of God. Every one of them. That does not mean God answers every one of them. But God hears every one of my prayers as a child of God. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says not yet. Sometimes God says keep praying. Sometimes God says yes. That's my favorite. Amen. But my prayers, as we said last Sunday, we come boldly before the throne of God. God hears us as a throne of grace. And I'm always accepted as a child of God. And by the way, if you're not saved, God is ready to hear your prayer of confession and faith in Jesus Christ, where you ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. And He's ready to hear that prayer and save you today. But my prayers are always heard. Not just because I'm the pastor, but because I'm a child of God. And when you and I have prayers sometimes, and it seems like God hasn't heard them, you can always have faith that God heard them. Jesus heard your prayer, and Jesus knows your situation. And there's confidence and there's comfort in knowing that at least He has heard my prayer. Let me point out a second thought, and that is that Jesus really did love them. If you look at chapter 11, verse 5, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." By the way, you could write your own name under there too. Jesus loved you. Now Jesus loved James and Amanda and company. Had Jesus loved Greg and Lisa and Stephen? That Jesus loved the whole Park clan. I'm not even going to bother mentioning all of them. By the way, if y'all keep coming to our church, we're going to make you start tithing here. Just want you to know that. Jesus did love them. But they didn't have verse 5 to sit there and read like we do. It's like Job didn't have the book of Job like we have the book of Job to read. They were going through it, but God was careful to put in there in verse 5 that no matter, that despite what was going on, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Sometimes we wonder if Jesus' love really is unconditional, or if there is some condition that would perhaps cause Him not to love me. But Jesus' love for us is an unconditional love. That means there is no condition in your life that has caused Him to stop loving you. Amen. Sometimes we begin to wonder if perhaps Jesus is a fair weather friend. And He's there on sunny days, but when problems come, He doesn't seem to be around. But Jesus' love is not a fair weather love. And it's not a conditional love. And it's not a love that is canceled. Or a love that is limited. Rather, He loved them despite their faults and problems and loved them despite their situation. And yes, His love was evidenced when they saw Him come. By the way, even when Jesus did show up and He saw Martha and heard her question, and then He saw Mary coming, weeping, tender-hearted, falling at His feet. If you'd been here, my brother had not died. You notice in that passage it said several times that Jesus was groaning in Himself. Please don't think of Jesus as a two-dimensional cartoon character in someone's picture book. All the love of God was in His heart. Saw Martha and Mary and saw them weeping, saw the other Jews there weeping. And He groaned in Himself, and as He came to the tomb, it says He was still groaning in Himself and He began to weep. Jesus wept. And the Jews that were nearby, they said, "Behold how He loved Him. Look at His tears. Look how He's weeping. Look at the sorrow in His face." Oh, but for those 4 days, they had to wonder, does Jesus still love us or not? Why doesn't He come? Why hasn't He answered? Why hasn't He helped us? Jesus did love them. And don't question Jesus' love. If you do question Jesus' love, go back to the Bible. The Bible will tell you that Jesus does love you. His love compelled Him to have compassion for them. He cared about their need, though they didn't realize it at the time. The songwriter wrote this when his entire family had died. His wife and his children had died, and he was left alone. And he wrote this song, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long." And then he says in the chorus, "Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." He did love them. They may not have known it. They may have questioned it. But He did love them. Then thirdly, I want to point out that Jesus did something, but not when they expected Him to. He came on His schedule, not theirs. Isn't it kind of funny that first Martha thought He was late? If you'd been here, my brother had not died. And then Jesus says, your brother's going to rise. And she thought He was early. Because, yeah, He's going to rise at the resurrection. So first she thought He was late, and then she thought He was early. But Jesus says, no. Right now, today, He's going to rise today. And sometimes we think that Jesus is late. Sometimes we think, no, that'll happen way off one day in the future. But you know, God has His own timing, and God doesn't always check our calendars and our schedules for when He does things. Jesus did something, but in His time, one of the most difficult things for Christians to remember is that God does things in His own providential timing and not ours. That He sees over the hill, He sees around the corner, and plans the beginning, or plans the ending from the beginning. Hey, walking by faith is not nearly as hard sometimes as waiting by faith. To know that God does things, but in His own timing. Now notice in verse 4, we find the reason why Jesus waited. He said, now when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. God always does things, now listen, first for His glory, second for our good. God's glory comes first. My good comes second. That's hard for us to accept sometimes. But when you start to really dedicate yourself to the Lord and realize His glory is more important than me, the glory of God first, my good second. They didn't understand how this situation could give glory to God. But when Lazarus walked out of the tomb, they understood how it was for the glory of God. Amen. Fourthly, God's purpose was bigger than just Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. God's purpose was to glorify His Son. To that point, Jesus was well known. He had done some tremendous miracles. But there was something about this miracle that caused many countless Jews to believe and spread His name from one end of the nation to the other. Notice in verse 42, chapter 11, verse 42. Chapter 11, verse 42. Jesus said, I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. When He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, why did He have to say Lazarus? Because if He hadn't said Lazarus, and all He had said is come forth, every dead person on earth would have resurrected from the grave. He had to be specific, amen? Lazarus, come forth. And verse 44, he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. Now folks, are we willing to go through things in our life so that others might be saved? All of this was planned in the mind of God from sickness to death to the fourth day to resurrection to point many people to Christ as their Savior. Through it all, God had a purpose that was bigger than Lazarus and his family. God has a purpose for everything in the life of His children. And I may not understand on the first day or the second day or the third day any more than Mary and Martha did, or at the beginning of the fourth day. But if you'll hang around, you'll learn one day the purpose of God for every heartache and sorrow and difficulty you've ever been through in your life. You'll see it one day. One final thought. Their enduring faith led to a sweet victory. Let's go to the next chapter, chapter 12. Let's see the rest of the story. Amen. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, six days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He'd raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Now, I'd like to have sat at that dinner table, amen? Come on, Lazarus, what was it like? Did you see a light? He was dead for 4 days. Where was he? He was in paradise. Same place Jesus took a dead thief when they died on the crosses on Calvary. And brought him back. I don't know. I don't know if he was allowed to say anything or not, but I would have been asking questions. You wouldn't have? Better believe it. And Martha's serving. Mary, verse 3, took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. So that's a pretty good picture of the Christian life. You have Martha serving. You know, we're supposed to serve Jesus as Christians. And you got Lazarus sitting at the table. You know, we're supposed to be in fellowship with Jesus. Amen. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And then you have Mary giving a sacrificial offering to Jesus, worshiping Jesus. And so what was a crisis of faith turned into a wonderful victory. And you can see it in their life later on. One day, folks, we may not understand everything in this lifetime. One day Jesus is not going to come to Bethany. One day Jesus is going to come in the clouds. Amen. And we're going to go up and see Him. And He's going to take us home. And we're going to sit at His table. And we're going to talk. And maybe some of us will be serving. Maybe we're all going to be served. I don't know. I know this, that it's going to be worth it to live for Christ. Even when you don't understand everything that's going on. To trust God, to know that He knows your situation, He hears your prayer, and loves you despite your need, and acts in His own timing, and that faith brings the victory. Now, you may have a heavy burden this morning. Can I tell you what you should do? At the very least, you ought to do like Mary did and fall at His feet and lay your burden down and trust Him and say, even now in this situation, I still trust You. I still believe. I still know that Thou art the Son of God.